Morning in progress. All right, Chevra, welcome. Our second week of, I think it's called Parsha Gems. I'm just going to share with you, like I said last week, like kind of like as I looked at the Parsha, like what comes to my mind, what came to my mind. I would suggest people ask me a lot of times, like, you know, how do you prepare a share? When it comes to Parsha, I open up the Chumash. I go through the Parsha. I don't even open up any other Svarim. I just read the Parsha. And then ask yourself, like, I try to tie things together and I try to, like, see how it relates to what's going on in my life, and specifically if I'm talking to other people, what might be going on in their lives. So I'm going to share with you what my perspective that I found in the Parsha this week, which I think is pretty relatable. The title is Pinchas, Turning Hopelessness into Hope. That's going to be, I guess, the theme over here. And I think maybe we'll see why it ties into to current events. And when you come to Parshas Pinchas, normally everybody talks about Pinchas. Everybody talks about, you know, being a zealite and having zeal, you know, being on fire for Kadosh Baruch Hu, going maybe crazy for Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not going to talk about that. Everybody speaks about that. And I want to speak about the Parsha that comes right after that. Okay, so what happens is, right, Klai Yisrael getting all involved with Midian. And we know Zimri and Cosby, they're committing adultery. They're doing all these horrible things. Pinchas gets up. He spears them. He kills them. There is a magepa. There is a plague that struck the Jewish people. And after the plague, you guys have Makoros, by the way? You have the Makoros? Yeah, Maddie, you have Makoros?
Yeah, they were sent to us. I'm pulling them up.
Okay,
right
great.
Now.
Yeah, so I'll make sure that you have it. Because I'm going to read a little bit for the Makoros. You look at source number one. It says, Vehi Achre, magepa was after the plague, right? Corona left. And Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Elazar, the son of Aaron, the following thing. Su'u es rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael, b'ben esrim sh'rav amalav, esavosav kol tzavai b'Yisrael. Hashem tells Moshe, count the Jewish people. Su'u, count. Count the Jewish people. And that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling b'nei Yisrael to be occupied with. Right? Go make a census. Find out who's still alive. Make sure you know who is still around. And Rashi tells us, and by the way, then the Torah goes on. It's a massive parak. Parak Chavav is a very, very long parak. Parak of Zion is a pretty long parak, where it goes on detailing Bnei Yisrael. It's very boring. Okay, if you're asking me, it's a very, very boring parsha, the beginning of Pinchas. Because what's the beginning of Pinchas? It just talks about numbers, names, nothing really so significant. And what you can do is when you see this happening, count Bnei Yisrael, you say, okay, big deal. Let's blame this as quickly as possible. Let's get through this. There's no significance to this, but it's not true. Rashi tells us in source number two, what's the significance of the counting? He says, Mashal l'roa shenichnasu ze'evim l'toch edro. It's a muscle of a shepherd who had a pack of wolves who entered into the pen. Right, the sheep pen. And what happened? The hargu mehen. What happens is the wolf comes in, he eats some of the sheep. What does the shepherd do afterwards? Kumona san leida minayin hanosros. Now what happens is he counts them afterwards to see who's left, to see what's going on with this flock. She yetum mitzayim and nimsul the moshe and nimsul of a minion. And what happens is it's counting Moshe Rabbeinu, who's making sure to see the flock who's around. And Chazal say that this is a sign of love. It's a sign of love, right? When you love something, you check on it. You make sure that everything's okay, right? If you love money, what you're going to do is you're going to count your money. If you thought you lost some money, you're going to run and you're going to count it. And the same thing is true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Klal Yisrael, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he counts Bnei Yisrael, it's not just like, you know, a census of how many people are left. It's Hashem saying, I love you, I care about you, you're significant, and therefore I'm going to count you. And this is the opening statement, so to say, of this Parsha. And what I want to try to understand is, what is the significance? Again, what it's showing Hashem's love for us. What does that mean? By counting us, Hashem is showing us his love for him. What does that mean? How does counting do that? What's the significance of counting? Why specifically counting? And that's what I want to focus on. And I saw, in order to answer this question, I want to go through, as I was going through the parsha, going through the census, and again, I suggest that you guys do this. It's very cool. I'm going to really point out all the key things. Basically, like I said, very boring. It says a lot of names. But what you'll see sprinkled throughout the names are actually events that took place to Klal Yisrael. Okay, I'm gonna learn right now with you some of the events that were mentioned in the Parsha. Okay, this is going to be source 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We'll go through them. Okay, source number 3. The first thing it tells us is it goes back to last week's Parsha. And it tells us something very, it just tells us the story. It tells us in source number 3, Uvnei Pluel Aliyah. So the children of Pluel was Aliyah. And who are the children of Aliyah? It's a Dasan Baviram. And it tells us who's Dasan and Aviram. Who Dasan Baviram? Kireha Eda Shehitzu Moshe Al Aram Be'edas Korach Batzosam Al Hashem. Dasan and Aviram are the ones that went and fought against Moshe in Parshas Korach, 2 Parshios ago. Right? We have Parshas Korach. And Korach comes and he fights against Moshe. And that's Dasan and Aviram. It tells us the story. Betivta Ka'aretz is Piha. The land opened up, so to say, its mouth. And it sucked up Korach and his people. There's Korach b'mosa eda. Bochla esh es mechamishim assigned ish v'ahiyu l'neis. And 250 people died with Korach. And that's the first event that's mentioned within the census. This idea of Korach v'adaso. And if you go to source 4, what's the next event that happens? Again, it might not necessarily be in order. These 2 are in order, but I skip around a little bit throughout the counting. But if you look at source 4, b'nei Yehuda. You guys remember the children of Yehuda? There was children of Yehuda who were married to, who were they married to? Who is Yehuda's daughter-in-law? Anybody remember? Get a little crowd participation. Who's Yehuda's daughter? Come on, daughter-in-law. Come on, let's go. The year in MMY, new, let's go. Okay, fine, I'll tell you. Sorry, I have to be dramatic. Tamar, right? Yehuda has a daughter-in-law, Tamar. And Tamar is married to Er, and Er does a chet, and he dies. And Onan takes over as the husband, and he commits a sin, and he dies. And then there's a whole story of Yehuda and Tamar, how Yehuda and Tamar wants a child. She ends up sleeping with Yehuda. That's the whole that whole story. But in source 4, it says, B'nei Yehuda. It's how it goes back to the children of Yehuda. Er ba'onain. It tells us about this Er and Onan. V'yamas Er ba'onain be'eretz Kanaan, and they died. So again, another story which seemingly is insignificant is brought up over here of Er and Onan dying. Okay, that's the second story that's found in this census. Okay, then we go back to source 5. And it's source 5 and it's talking about the Levim. It talks about that Aaron has Nadav Aviu. He had 2 sons. He has 4 sons, but it's Nadav Aviu. And what happens to Nadav Aviu? If you guys remember, it's source 5. Nadav and Aviu die. Remember when the Chanukah Sabbath, the Mishkan was being inaugurated, that Nadav and Aviu bring a korban that they weren't supposed to bring. They went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They weren't supposed to be there. And what happened to them? They die. So Vayamas Nadav Aviu. Mekrivim Eish Zaro Lifnei Hashem. They brought a foreign fire before God, the fire they weren't supposed to bring. So that's another story that's brought over here. That's the third story. What's the fourth story that's all of a sudden brought in? The census is in source number 6. Utslafchad, you guys know this one. Ben Heper lo hayu lo banim. Right? Nebuch, he only had daughters. I guess that's derogatory. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But that's what the Torah is saying. Slavchad only had sons. What's he going to do? It tells us this tragic story of that the lineage will not continue, that he's not going to have land in Eretz Yisrael. Right? We know how the ending is. Baruch Hashem ended up good. We'll talk about that at the end. But again, the story of Tzlavkad. Again, there's no reason to tell us. This is all census. So why are you telling me these stories of Tzlavkad? Another thing that's mentioned, that's alluded to, this was an allusion. It talks about certain people who didn't get any land. And why didn't they get land in source number 7? Because they died. They died. Why did they die? Because of the Chet HaMeraglim. Right? It's alluding to Chet HaMeraglim in source number 7. in Pasuk Samach Dalur, Ve'ela Lohaya Ishm Kudim Moshe Aaron Akoin Asher Paklus Bnei Selva Midbar Sinai. There weren't any offsprings. Why? Ki Amar Shem Lehem Mos Yimasa Bamidbar. That they're going to die. This whole generation died because of Chena Meraglim. So again, we bring up your Chena Meraglim. Another event. And then, one more event, and then I want to share an idea with you, is the last one, that an event that happens after the census. It's immediately after the census in source 8. By Yom HaShem Moshe, Allah Har HaAbrim, Hazeh Yireas Ha'aretz HaShem Nesati Bnei Yisrael. Hashem tells Moshe, he's basically reminding him, hey Moshe, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Right? Remember, Mei Meribah, you hit the rock, you're supposed to speak to the rock. You're not going into Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe, I'll let you see Eretz Yisrael. Where Esau saw, you can see it. And then you're going to die like your brother Aaron died. So again, over here, we all of a sudden, this whole parsha, so the census, we have this idea of Moshe Rabbeinu is, again, reminded he's not going to Eretz Yisrael. He can see Eretz Yisrael, but he's not going in. And my question is, why these stories, why are these events sprinkled into the counting of Bnei Yisrael? First of all, let me ask you guys a question. Is there any common denominator within these stories? Okay, I'll repeat them real quick. Korach dying, Yehuda's children dying, Aaron's sons dying, Tzlafka not getting land in Eretz Yisrael, the people of the Meraglim, Chet Meraglim, all die. Moshe Rabbeinu's not going to Eretz Yisrael and he's going to die.
Death.
Common denominator, what?
Death.
And death, by the way, again, it's Slavkot also. I mean, Slavkot's going to die, and he's not going to have an inheritance, right? And there's all death. It all seems very negative, right? And most of them are alluding to some sort of hate that took place, right? The Meraglim was a hate. Moshe Rabbeinu did a hate. Aaron's children did a hate. Aaron Onan did a hate. All these situations, pretty much Slavkot. I don't know if there's anything that he did. I don't know if he had a hate, but all of it, it's very, very negative. So like, why is it that these messages are sprinkled within this counting of Bnei Yisrael? And this is what I was thinking about when I was looking at the Parsha. And I want to suggest the Chiddush. Kind of, Russ is not here. Maybe she's going to listen to the recording. I'd assume that she'll listen to the recording. As you can say, who says this? And kind of, Russ, Reb Dani says this. So put it in your notebook, a Chiddush from Reb Dani. You can put kfira and question marks in parentheses. I mean, you can highlight it, whatever you want. I don't think it's kfira, but I think this is my idea. This is my take on the parsha. This is a massive yisod here. What is counting? What's the whole idea of counting? Okay, the way I think of counting is you know, seeing what you have. It's not just seeing what you have. It's analyzing what just took place. Right? What happened? That all these Jews just died in the Magepa. And Hashem's counting. He's saying, count the Jewish people. Take stock. See what happened. Analyze. Do cheshbon nefesh. Ask yourself, what happened? Ask yourself about life. Reflect on your purpose in this world. And when we're asked to do cheshbon nefesh, if I ask you to like think back to your life and think about key moments in your life. Now, for some of us, this might not be true, but I think for many of us, and I think the world that we live in and what the world preaches to us is try to remember life as being perfect, or try to remember the good things that happened in life, right? Don't dwell on the negative things. Don't dwell on the bad things, because that's very scary. It makes us uncomfortable. But in general, that's what we try to focus on. And when we focus on those things, there's something very good about that, because you can remember all the good things Hashem has given us, and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for those things. But there's also a danger, because if a person thinks like that, you know, life isn't perfect. Life is very far from perfect. And life is very far from no challenges. That's not reality. What's real life? And maybe now a lot of you are feeling this. Again, either if you left MMY or you're way past MMY, just if you're in life, what you realize about life is life really not easy. Life is really hard. life gets really messy, right? Life is not black and white. There's a lot of like areas of like where we could just completely just not know what to do. And it's frustrating. And it's sad sometimes, and it's scary. And what the Torah is telling us as we're doing this cheshbon hanefesh, as we're recounting life, it's Hashem is saying, hey guys, there were really good moments, right? We left Mitzrayim and we went to our Sinai, but guys, don't forget, like, look at this history of the Jewish people. You know, Aaron's children died, Yehuda's children died, there's the Chet Meraglim, really messed things up. The life is filled with things that are upsetting, which are not easy. But like I said, it's messy. And I think that's the lesson here. One of the ideas of the counting is to tell you life is not perfect. However, I think this is a big yisod in the life that the world we live in. I mean, I'm supposed to be in charge of social media. I took a sabbatical. You know, MMY this past year is a year of sabbatical. So I took a sabbatical from social media. And so I'm supposed to know something about social media. I think it's a nace that I ran it, to be honest with you. I'm being recorded. But the Lamaisa, I think that what do you see in the world of social media, the world that we live in, right? The world we live in tries to like paint the picture for us of like perfection. Right? People always smiling with their selfie and like 50 billion people liking them. And then, you know, if you open up any advertisement, it's somebody who looks perfect, right? Perfect. There's like nothing wrong with them. And everything, every show we watch, everything that's around us is like perfect, 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 happy, smile. Yay, 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 yay. And however, that's not like life. It's not real. A lot of people sometimes come to me and say, I'm not happy or I'm confused. And I say, Baruch Hashem, that's part of life. I'm saying we shouldn't stay confused and unhappy. I'm not saying that's a goal, but that's going to happen in life. And that's what these stories are all about. That's sprinkled within this moment of what seems like should be love, right? Hashem's counting us, which is his showing is an expression of chiba, of love. That within that love, there's things that are messy. That's like what comes after all of this. At the end of the parsha, the whole end of the parsha talks about korbanos. It talks about the korbanos we bring on Shabbos, the korban tamid. It talks about all the korbanos that we bring on Yom Tovim. It doesn't really talk about Yom. It talks about every yantif, but the korbanos of the yantif. And why is that brought in the parsha? I was thinking the following thing. I think the message of korbanos is the message I was just talking about. What's a korban? Stop and think about a korban for a second. Korban means karov. It brings us close to Hashem. And if you stop and think about what is a korban, it's actually really gross. Sorry to get a little gory right now. You're bringing an animal. You're shechting it. Blood is squirting everywhere. Okay, sorry. Oh, Maddie, you're a vegetarian?
I don't get grossed out by like animal stuff, though. You're good.
I know, but you're a vegetarian, right?
Yeah, but like just because I'm picky, not because I like.
Oh, if you're picky. Okay, yeah, fine.
You're good.
Yeah, so again, so maybe you'll be a vegetarian after I give this description. You check the animal, you slice it, throw it open, blood squirts everywhere. You take off the skin, you take out all the body parts. It's gross, it's disgusting. But however, this is the method that's used to get close to Hashem. Karov, korban. Why? Why is this the end of the parsha? Because I think it's emphasizing this idea. The way we get close sometimes involves blood. It involves uncomfortable situations. It involves darkness. It involves but that's how you take something that's a behemoth, that's an animal, that's treif, and through this whole mechanism of gore and blood, you transform it into something kosher, something that's brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that binds us with Hashem. And remember, this is not just true by korbanos. The start of the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, told us this message. Now, when Avraham Avinu is chosen, right, he has the bris ben Avisarim. What's bris ben Avisarim? The covenant between the parts. What's the parts? You might have missed this one, right? He sliced animals in half, right? Half of the animals on this side, half of the animals are on the other side. He walks through these animals, whatever this means, right? What's going on? What is it like this is like a serial killer movie, but it's not. It's, I think, what Hashem is telling him, and it got very dark, right? Got very dark, and Hashem said, "You're going to go down to Mitzrayim." What was going on? When Hashem was telling Avraham Avinu, you know what it means to be a Jew? You know what it means to live in this world? It means sacrifice. It means that there's going to be things that are really going to be difficult, that are not going to make sense. But a job of a Jew is to persevere, is to move forward, and to acknowledge that this is what life is about. And life is about sometimes making mistakes. And life is about Hashem giving us challenges that we don't understand. But that's what, that they're there. That's part of life. You can't run away from these things. You can't escape these things. That's why Avraham Avinu, who is, again, he is our, when we talk about Avraham and Sarah and the Avos, they're not just like nice stories. They're telling us about ourselves. And when it tells us about Avraham Avinu, it's saying, Avraham Avinu, how did he become close to Hashem? Through 10 tests. After living in this world for 70 years. Can you imagine this? He's a 70-year-old guy. We saw this picture. I picture Avraham Avinu, like, good-looking guy, long hair, you know, like long robe, a herd of camels. You know what I mean? Like this young, you know, strong guy. He was 70 years old. 70-year-old old guy who found, he's an old geezer, okay? He found God at 70. And then what happens is he goes through 10 tests for the next 30 years of his life. It's the complete opposite of what should happen to him. Because kind of the brisket of a sorry, and what happens in Adam's life is really a paradigm for all of us of what life is going to be like. Life will not be easy. Life will be challenging. There'll be struggles. And that's how what happens to Avraham Avinu's children after the Avos, who all suffered. I didn't go through all of them. But Yaakov Avinu suffered the most. After all that, his children go down to the tribe. We go down to the tribe. We become slaves. We have 210 years of darkness. Kind of, that's how the world works. And that's what I think the message is of the counting of Bnei Yisrael. But the question that we have to ask ourselves is the following thing. Where's the love in that? Where's the love, right? I just think counting Bnei Yisrael, it's the love Hashem has for Bnei Yisrael. What I just told you was not love, right? That seems like dark, gory, not fun, happy stuff. So where's the love? Where's the love in the counting? So kind of what I just explained to you is one aspect of what counting does. But there's another aspect of what counting does. After you've recognized all the dirty stuff of life, the challenging stuff of life, there's another aspect that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. And I'm going to give you three other incidents that are recalled in the census. Okay? Remember I told you there's different events that happen within the census. Look at source 9. When it tells us that Korach dies and 250 people die with him, there's a pasuk that tells a very, very short pasuk, probably one of the shortest pasukim in the Torah. Uvnei Korach lo mesu. We didn't know this. We never were told this before. We know, we thought all of Korach's family died. That's not true. His children did not die. What does it mean they didn't die? Rashi tells us, at first, they followed their father. The children of Korach followed his ways. And when the machlokas was going on between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu, in their hearts, they said, you know what? We're not doing the right thing. And they did tshuva. And you know what happened? Right before, they did tshuva right before the ground opened up. They did tshuva. And what happens? What happens is, what happened was a part of Gehenna came up and saved them. They didn't die. They didn't die. What a crazy story. That's put in, that had to be mentioned. Those four words had to be mentioned in the census. What else is mentioned in the census? I told you about Slavkot. It first starts off by telling you that Slavkot has no sons. But in source number 11, I'm not going to go into it. You guys know the whole story. The daughters of Tzlafkot come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, we want a chelek in the land. We want a portion. And even though Tzlafkot is going to die and there shouldn't be a portion, Hashem says, give them a portion. Give them a portion. And that story is highlighted in the Parsha. And then there's another story. Remember, what's the other story? The other story is, remember I told you Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says to Moshe, go on the mountain. I'll show you Eretz Yisrael. You can see it. Can you imagine if you're Moshe Rabbeinu? Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu for a second. Like, you dedicated your whole life to Klal Yisrael. defending Klal Yisrael, fighting for Klal Yisrael, sleepless nights. And Hashem tells you you're not going to the promised land. Can you imagine that? What would you do? Right? What would you do? What would I'm trying to think what I would do. What I would do is if I heard that, I'd cry. I'd go to my bed. I'd roll up in a ball. I'd have continuous pints of Ben and Jerry's delivered to my room. And I would cry in a ball eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Does this sound familiar to anyone? Can you relate to something like this? Yeah, no. I don't even tell. Yeah. I'd say that's what I would do. But look at the Torah is incredible. Moshe Rabbeinu, the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu does right afterwards? Look at source 12, Pasuk Yudalit. Vaydaber Moshe Hashem. Hashem doesn't speak to Moshe. Moshe speaks to Hashem. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going into Eretz Yisrael. But they need leadership. They need the next generation of leaders. And he says, give me someone that's going to take my place. And Hashem says, pick Yehoshua. And he takes Yehoshua and he anoints him the leader. He says, Yehoshua, you're going to lead Klal Yisrael. Come an unbelievable story in the middle of the census. This story of Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Yehoshua, you're in charge. Cover, what are these three stories that are found in the census? Again, just to remind you, the whole idea of Korach's children being saved, Benos Tzlafchad, Moshe Rabbeinu picking Yehoshua. Cover, you want to know what the message is over here? It's one word. It's something called hope. Hope. Tikva. Hope. Because, you know what can happen when you're doing your cheshbon ha-nefesh, you're looking at life and saying, this is so dark, this is so bad, this is so challenging, I can't overcome this. So what can happen to a person is that, like I said, you wrap it, you go into a ball, you eat your Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and you give up on life. Because why should I continue? It's so dark. Look at the great people who have died because, you know, they couldn't get it. How am I going to do it? And then Hashem puts these stories inside of the census to tell us to stop that train of thought. As you're counting and you're recalling all the bad things, what Hashem is telling you is, I want you to count for you to realize you're still here. You're here. Yes, the Meraglim happened. Yes, Aaron's children died. Yes, Aaron Onain died. Yes, Tzlafchad's going to die. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to die. So the Kara, Klal Yisrael is still here. B'nai Yisrael is strong. Things are okay. And there's always hope, no matter how bad things might look. Think about Korach. Korach, him and 250 of his children fell into the earth. The earth opened up and collapsed on top of them. Very relatable to what's going on right now in the world. Of the world just collapsing on top of you in a split second. At that moment, you have no hope. Everybody's dead. And at that moment, the Torah tells us, "V'nei Korach lo mesu." There's hope. There's hope. The children of Korach, they did tshuva. The last minute was okay. Remember, Tzlafchad is sitting on his deathbed thinking, I'm not going to have any chilek. And he shouldn't have had any chilek in Eretz Yisrael. According to the rules, no chilek. Right? According to the rules, death is decreed on him. He's not going to have any nachla in Eretz Yisrael. And what happens? Last minute, but no tzlafchad get up and say, I don't care what the rules are, Kadosh Baruch Hu. We want a chilek in Eretz Yisrael. We want to grow. We want to be close to you. We don't care what it looks like in front of us because Kadosh Baruch Hu, we know that there's hope. And that's the story of Benos Tzlafchad. And that's the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu never gave up hope. Because it never was about Moshe Rabbeinu. It was about the story of the Jewish people. And the story of the Jewish people is a story of hope. That no matter what happened to the Jewish people, no matter how many trials and tribulations we're going to go through, we will survive. We will be Matzliach. We're going to be successful. Meaning, how it's going to happen, we have no idea. That's what we don't know. But Chevra, if you ask me, what's going to happen to the Jewish people? I'll tell you, at the end of the day, success. at the end of the day, great things. And maybe we won't always see it. Maybe in our lifetime, it's very we can't understand things. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm picking the leader, the next leader, because Klai Yisrael is going forward. They're going to Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. There's going to be Or LaGayim. There's going to be a transformation in the world through my people. It's all about the idea of hope. And that is the love that Kadosh Baruch Hu performs when he counts the Jewish people. That when he counts the Jewish people, he's saying, realize what life is about. It's not easy. But realize I believe in you. Realize I know you can do it. Realize there's hope. Realize there's tremendous potential that's late, that's there inside you that you have to let go free. Remember, that's why he uses the word, Akash Baruch says, Su'u es Rosh B'nai Yisrael. There's different ways to say count. Right, the spor is the more common word that should be used. Count the Jewish people. But he uses the word su'u, lift up. It's a very strange expression. I didn't bring it here, but Moshe Feinstein says su'u is a lashon of lifting up. Why is he lifting up? Because cover everything I just said, how can a person react when they see the reality of life, become depressed, shut down, wrap in a ball, and eat Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and look at yourself as a loser and a nebuch, and there's no hope? Hashem says, count, understand life, know the difficulties, but su'u, now lift yourself up and go conquer life. Go make something of life. Be happy in your life because realize there's something called hope. And when you understand these messages, and that's what the whole counting is about, and that's what the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about, then you can understand another interesting incident or whatever event or person that's mentioned in the counting. There's a very interesting, another short pasuk, four word pasukim that are like, you can give a whole share on this pasukim. Yael Sevo just showed up. Yael Sevo, your mom is showing up right now. The four word pasuk, the second four word pasuk of the day. The four word pasuk says, Vishem Bas Asher Sarach. There was the daughter of Asher. This is amazing, right? One of the Shvatim, his daughter's name was Sarach. And she's mentioned in the counting. And Chazal are like, what is she doing here? Right? Like she's the only woman I think mentioned besides Benot Slavchad that gets attention, real attention. Who's Sarach? Why is she mentioned? Now Rashi tells us, Lefisha Haisa Kayemis Bechayel Manakan. Since she was alive, we mentioned her. Who cares that she's alive? Why is she any different than anybody else? Chavram, Sarach is the most important, maybe the most important person in the entire Parsha. Okay? For Klal Yisrael. There's Pinchas, who's amazing, and the Parsha is named after Pinchas. Become this woman called Sarach, and we may have never even heard of Sarach, and she's the daughter of Asher. What does it mean she's the daughter of Asher? Do you understand? She's still alive, says Rashi. Stop and think about this for a second. The daughter of Asher, right? Yaakov Avinu's son, Asher, right? Not the musician. Okay, Yaakov Avinu's son, Asher. Okay, he or Sheva Asher. Not Sheva Asher either. Okay, that those of you who are this past year, never mind. She's the daughter of Asher. You know what that means? Let's stop and think for a second what that means. That means that she was alive, right? When all the Shvatim were alive, she saw the Shvatim. She saw Yaakov Avinu. Remember, not only that, she actually was very close to Yaakov Avinu. Because you guys probably know this Medrash. The Medrash says that when Yosef HaTzadik, when the brothers reunited with Yosef HaTzadik, right? Everybody was so happy. And they went back to Eretz Yisrael to tell Yaakov Avinu, Yosef's alive. But everybody said, hey, oh, don't tell him. He's an old guy. If you tell him Yosef's alive, what's going to happen? He's just going to die. I'm like, you know, can you imagine you find out your son you thought was dead for 22 years alive? I said, we can't do that. There was a woman by the name of Sarah, the daughter of Asher. And you know what she did? She said, let me slowly tell him, I'll sing for him. She knew how to play Hasidic. She knew how to play the guitar. She was the Kumsitz lady, right? She's Yael Seibold Hass, right? Playing the Hasidic, right? Playing the guitar. She came in and she slowly sang, your son, Yosef. I'm not gonna sing in 3 weeks. Maybe even me singing is maybe not considered singing. I don't know. But he comes there, your son, you have a son, Yosef. And he's alive, and he was in Mitzrayim. And then, Yaakov didn't understand what she was saying. She said it 3, 4, 5 times. I think maybe 3 times. And at the third time, Yaakov understood, oh my goodness, Yosef is alive. Sarah was the one who broke the news to Yosef, to Yaakov. Sarah saw Yosef and Yaakov reunite. You know what else Sarah saw? Sarah saw Klai saw go from Eretz Yisrael down to Mitzrayim. And you know what she saw? She saw those Jewish people, all of them, go down for 210 years to Mitzrayim, and they're persecuted and tortured and suffered and went through darkness and trials and tribulations. Come, you know what else she saw? She saw Yitzias Mitzrayim. She saw all those Jews after 210 years, experience gula, redemption. And then you know what she saw after that? She saw Chira Egel. She saw Chir Meraglim. She saw the sons of Aaron die. She saw every trial and tribulation that went through Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. She saw that Moshe is not going to Eretz Yisrael. But however, you know what else she saw? She returned to Eretz Yisrael. She wasn't like Moshe. She wasn't like the rest of the generation of people who died because of the Chida Meraglim. She saw redemption. She saw the Jewish people return home. It says she was the one that showed them where to bury Yosef HaTzadik in Shechem. She returned home. This is a very interesting thing. In Source 15, the Birchas Asher al HaTorah asks a question like, how did she stay alive? Meaning, why was she allowed to stay alive? Meaning she was part of Chida Meraglim. Everybody in that generation had to die. Why was she privileged to not die? It says the Birchas Asher al HaTorah, an unbelievably sore camera. Listen to this, because this is about you guys. Listen to this. He said, you want to know who died from Chida Meraglim? It's an unbelievable pshat. Only the men died. The women didn't die. Sarach didn't die, but not only Sarach, the women didn't die. The Benot Slavka, we see from Benot Slavka, they loved Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to go back home. They never gave up hope. They didn't give in to the Meraglim. They didn't give in to Chira Egel. Because the kwaka of the women is this, never give up hope. It's, you know, it's going to be okay. That no matter what trials and tribulations we face, we will persevere. We will be okay. And that is the message of Sarach. Sarach is brought for the first time in this week's Parsha because this is what the story of this week's Parsha is all about. It's a story of the Jewish people. It's a story of life. Like we've said throughout the Shir, that life is not easy. Life, there's going to be Yosef HaTzadik thrown in jail. Life is going to be going down to Mitzrayim. But life also has hope. Life has a geula, has a redemption, leaving Mitzrayim. Where the father and the sons and the children, the parents and the children reunite. Sarach saw it all, and Sarach was the beacon of hope. She showed us the idea of Masorah, of a part of something bigger. No one else survived besides Sarah. And what she's saying is if you are connected to the Masorah, even if you yourself don't see it, but you're connected to the Masorah, then you never die. It's not just about you, that even when you do die, it continues. Sarah was the beacon of hope that Moshe Rabbeinu had to connect to in order to say, Yoshua, you're going to lead Klai Yisrael now. there's a few English, source 17, 18. You guys go through it by yourselves later. It's in English. Because that's a story about Parsha. Why is this so significant right now? Why did it speak to me? Why did I see this? I don't know. I got Siyata Deshmaya. Because of you guys, I was able to see this in the Parsha. But there's two things going on right now in my mind that are very significant. One, which we can very easily be reminded about, if you just turn on the news, you just follow anything, if you look at the news of what happened in Florida, of what happened to that building that just fell down, literally middle of the night, like paper, right? Like nothing. And under all that rubble are a lot of Jews. A lot of Jews. When you see that, when you hear that, Chevra, it's the story of the beginning of the Parsha. It's messy. It's tragic. If it's not, like, we need to maybe focus in a little more on that, like there's Jews under a pile of rubble. It's tragic. But I want to tell you something that happened to me this week. A transformation. I follow the news a lot, and I follow this specifically a lot. Because I had the biggest pride of my life this week. I had the greatest hope, hatikva. Okay, maybe that's actually a good word to use right now because it's going to fit into what I'm saying. The greatest hope in that darkness, mamish in that darkness, the most amazing thing happened. That you saw 15 soldiers with Israeli flags on their sleeves that flew across the world to find their brothers and their sisters and people who are not even part of us. That the experts that were called in, the experts that were needed, were 15 Israelis from the Jewish state, from the Jewish army that came to rescue, to say, we are here and there's hope. And it was incredible. If you've seen this, the general who was brought in, the guy, the head of the top guy who's in charge of the search and rescue committee. Every single interview I watched, he said, they asked him, do you think anybody's going to be alive? And he said, you want to know something? He said, until everything is done, until we're done here, I have hope. He said that there's been times after a few weeks, they found people under the rubble. Now, will that happen? I don't know if it's going to happen. Doesn't look good. The cover, within that darkness, there's hope. There's hope. And that to me is very powerful. It was the Parsha coming alive. And remember, when we're living in right now, an experience, this whole year has been an experience, honestly, of this over and over and over and over again. I hope I'm not like rehashing bad feelings, and I'm going to probably get phone calls like, meaning like I'm traumatizing, like why does Hashem do all these things? Remember, it's called life. Called life, yeah, it happens. But you got to find the hope. You got to see the light. You have to. Hashem is saying, yes, bad things are happening, but I'm counting you. I'm counting. We are still here. We are still breathing. We are still able to think. We're healthy. Which means we have an achrayus of a responsibility to grow, to do, to impact the world, to impact those around us, to impact ourselves, to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu we care, that we want something. That's on one level how this Parsha connects very deeply with what's going on in current events. But there's something that's going on that's in the current events that's been happening for 2,000 years, longer than 2,000 years. And this is much harder to remember. We're in the 3 weeks. We're in a time where we stop and we think about Korban. We stop and we think about destruction. What we started doing this week in the 3 weeks is we're starting at the beginning part of the Parsha, where we're remembering, what are we remembering? Korach, Chen Meraglim, the children of Aaron dying, all those things that we mentioned. That's what we're doing in the 3 weeks. Oh my goodness, look at our history, thousands of years, trials, tribulations, torture, pogroms, Holocaust, inquisitions, crusades. Cover 3 weeks is like, I don't know about you, right? The 3 weeks come, you're like, stomach drops, and you're like, let's just get this over with. Like getting a shot, right? Like, just get this over with. It's like a 3 week long shot. And what happens? It gets progressively worse. Right? You start with the 3 weeks. Okay, not so bad. Okay, fast day. But then you have like, you know, 2 weeks where it's like, okay. And then the 9 days happen, right? No fleishik. So for Maddie, it's okay. But for the rest of us, like, oh my goodness, fleishik. What ends up happening is we end up eating better usually because like you can't have fleishik for like a few days. So like, you have like the best, you know, milchik meals you've ever had in your entire life. But whenever that happens in 9 days, and then Shavuot Shekabel, the week where Tisha B'Av falls out, it gets even worse. And then Tisha B'Av itself, you're sitting on the floor, you're crying, you're in pain. And you lose hope. You lose hope. And you feel like you're totally out of control. You're missing something in your life. Because cover, we are missing something in our lives. We're missing where we're supposed to be. If you want to understand what we're missing, the fact that we're on Zoom right now, okay, and the fact that every person here is in a different place, cover, that's a problem. Because there's one place that we're supposed to be. There's one place that Kali Sol naturally belongs. To be back in Eretz Yisrael, to be back home, to be in Yerushalayim, to be at the base of Migdash, to be at the Kadosh Baruch Hu, where there's Simcha Le'Artzecha, Nesasa Le'Irecha. Where we can declare a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, that is what life is about. But we forget. However, the whole purpose of 3 weeks is to remember something is wrong in our lives. But when you realize that, it's not to get depressed. It's not to roll open the ball. It's not to have a Ben and Jerry's ice cream delivered next to your bed. It's not what the purpose of it, this is all about. It's about one thing, Chavra, hope. Tikva. Ha tikva, the hope. And what's the hope? Unbelievable Yerushalmi. The Gemara Yerushalmi, I brought Rav Tzadok, who brings it down in Source 19. The Isa Yerushalmi Brachos, if you look in the Gemara, in the Yerushalmi and Brachos, it tells us, Shevetish Abav Nolan Mashiach. Everyone, listen to this. Tish Abav is the day the base of Migdash is burning. We're sitting on the floor, we're mourning. It's that day, it's that moment that Mashiach is born. Mashiach is born. What's that all about? It's about everything we've been speaking about for the past 45 minutes. Sorry, 53 minutes. I came 3 minutes late, past 50 minutes. Not bad. 3 minutes is not bad. Okay. You've experienced worse.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Thank you. Baruch Hashem. I'm working myself, doing tshuva. So, what was I saying? I don't remember what I was saying. Shoot. Totally just sidetracked myself.
Tisha B'Av is the day that Mashiach was born.
Tisha B'Av is the day Mashiach is born because Kavra, it's everything we've been talking about for the past 50 minutes. That's what I was saying. That we've been talking about the past 50 minutes. Kavra, there's realizing that there's destruction in this world, there's tragedy in this world, but Kavra, it's all about hope. It's all about hope. It's all about moving forward. It's all about saying, I understand there's going to be a day that there'll be light and where things will be understood and where Kadosh Baruch Hu will be seen in this world again. And that's the idea of the 3 weeks. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I remember who I'm supposed to be. I remember who I'm supposed to become. I remember what my life is all about. And I know that I can do it. And I'm going to recommit myself to do it. And on the day of destruction, Mashiach will be born. I know it, Kadosh Baruch Hu, which means I can be reborn. No matter how dark I feel, how low I've gone, how lost I feel, how confused I am, the whole purpose of 3 weeks is you can do it. And cover, that's why what comes after the 3 weeks, pretty much 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later is Elul. Elul, where I say I'm working on myself. Where I say I need Lidodi Vidodi Li. The Mina Kadosh Baruch Hu belong together. And you work on yourself for a month. And you come to Rosh Hashanah, and you can daven Simcha Le'Artzecha. You can daven Hashem, all I want is to be back in Eretz Yisrael. I want you to be in this world. You know, as a chazan for Rosh Hashanah, was just talking to another chazan. I said, what's the greatest preparation for being a chazan? So, you know, somebody will say voice lessons. Other people say working on your midos, right? Anava. And I said, you want to know how you are able to be a good chazan? Because it's not really about your voices. It's really being a good chazan by your heart. And the way that you can be a good chazan is by doing the 3 weeks. Only if you know what you're missing. Only if you know what life is all about, that life is darkness, but life is hope. Because this is the shorash, this is the sod of tshuva, this is the sod of life, are these 3 weeks. And that's why somebody who does the 3 weeks properly, by the way, you might be crying on Tisha B'Av, but there's a certain sense of simcha that you leave Tisha B'Av with, if you do it right. We have to realize that this time period is not only for about the 3 weeks, it's about the rest of our year. It's going to take us into Elul, it's going to take us into Tishrei, it's going to take us into Rosh Hashanah, Yom Narayim, Sukkot, and then through the whole year again. That's what it's about. That's what this is all about. And I want to end with the Torah. The Torah talks about there's going to be destruction and there's going to be bad things, calamities that are going to happen to the Jewish people. But then it always ends. These three weeks are the shlosha paranios, the three haftorahs of destruction. But all three of these that lead up to Tisha B'Av, all three of these haftorahs end on a positive note, a note of hope. Because just like we're remembering, Akash Baruch was also remembering. Akash Baruch is also doing accounting. Akash Baruch is constantly aware of everything that's happening. And it ends with a very famous pasuk that we say in Rosh Hashanah, in the Amidah, in the Musaf, the Shmoneh Esrei Musaf, right? There's a song also, source 20. That after all these things of telling them the calamity is going to happen to Jewish people, and it seems like the Jewish people are forgotten, and it seems like there's no hope, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, halach b'karasa ba'ezneh b'aznei Yerushalayim Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, go and speak to the heirs of Yerushalayim. Go talk into the heir of Yerushalayim and tell Yerushalayim the following thing. Ko amar Hashem. Hashem says the following thing. Zecharti l'chesed nurayich. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know all the bad things Klai Saul has done. But that's not what I remember. That's not what I focus on. I remember the kindness of the Jewish people, that they were young, that they left Mitzrayim when they were slaves. You know what they did? I remember the love of my bride. We followed God into the desert. We believed in God. We trusted in God. We knew there's hope when it looked like there's no hope. Imagine going into a midbar. No water, no food, animals roaming around, very hot weather. How are you going to survive? I remember what that you did after me. That's you. That's who you are. I have hope. I know that everything's going to be okay. This is what we're supposed to be doing in this time period. And to remember the following thing, the last pasuk of the Torah, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. We're holy in God's eyes. Reishis Tvuasa were his first wheat. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for. As much pain that we feel, this is such an important thing to realize. However much pain we feel, realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also feels pain. And realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also waiting. Also realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hope. That is the story of our Parsha. This is the story of the Jewish people. This is our avoda as we enter, as we are already in the 3 weeks, as we deal with the current events. The chevra, give us a bracha that we should be people who are realistic, that we understand what life is about, always realizing, okay, it's never easy. The chevra, that we should be people that are filled with hope, people that realize it's okay, it's going to be okay. How? I don't know how, but it's going to be okay. And the Jewish people are going to be okay. We should be Zocha. That we get to this Tisha B'Av. We won't say it's the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We'll be able to say it's the day that Mashiach was born. The day that Mashiach was revealed. The day that where the whole world was fixed once again. The world had light again. and there was no more confusion. And the mitzvah shabbat that day happens. What's going to happen is we're going to be dancing. You'll be on the women's section, I'll be in the men's section, but we're going to be dancing. Mamish was so much simcha, because you know what's going to happen? Mashiach's going to come and say, we knew it all along. We've been waiting for this day. And people are anticipating something and know what's going to happen. When the day it happens, your simcha will be greater than everybody else's simcha. And that's why it says in the Gemara, whoever mourns for Yerushalayim, I didn't bring it down over here, whoever mourns Yerushalayim will be zochet to see the simcha of Yerushalayim. Because only those who mourn, who realize there's something missing, but also know that one day will be rebuilt, those people will be happy when Mashiach comes. God, we should be amongst those people. We should be those people. And Mirza Shem, when we do that, we should show the people around us this vision, this perspective. And when we do that, they will elevate themselves. They will elevate those who are around them, and them, and the people around them, the people around them, the people around them, and Mirza Shem. To see that light of Mashiach, to see the light of Beis HaMikdash, to see the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to not only return to this world, but to his city, to the city where he remembers the Chesed and the Orayich, that place that he anticipates to be once again with his Kulo Sayach, to be with his bride.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Can you so
great
much.
To see you guys.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
Bye.
Bye, Pasha. Tzlacha, guys. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Oops. Yeah.